I want to welcome all of you to our podcast from my kitchen table. For those of you who do not know me, I am Jo Packham, editor-in-chief of your magazines, Where and What Women Create. Our podcast will be coming to you weekly, and I do hope that you will listen to each one. I will be introducing you to the famous in our industry, those you may not know, and experts who can help us on our journey, whether that be art, business, or wellness. Our guests have much to teach, much to share, and much to give each of us. I would like to introduce you to our guest today. She is probably one of the most important people in my work life. I trust her and her knowledge and her skill set and her sense of style with everything that is near and dear to me in these magazines. I don't know what I would do without her, and I pray every day that I don't do something to offend her so that she quits and goes and gets another job. So she is a publications designer with 25 years of experience with WD Design Works. Over that time, she has designed hundreds of books, mostly for Northlight Books, formerly an imprint of F&W. She has also designed issues of Watercolor Artist, Pastel Journal, and of course, the magazines that women create. She has a very short bio for someone who is as knowledgeable and as important in so many people's lives as she is. I would like to introduce you to Wendy Dunning, and she is the one who truly makes your stories as beautiful and easy to read as they are. So if we were all on a Zoom call, I would give her a huge round of applause, because I am eternally grateful for everything she does for all of us. So Wendy, welcome to From My Kitchen Table.
Howdy.
It's nice to have you here. I was, for those of you who are listening, I was saying to Wendy before we got on the podcast, that I'm as interested in what she has to tell you and help you with as you are, because I just take for granted that however I do something or whatever I do, she will fix it and make it beautiful. And so it will be really nice for her if we all learn how to do it correctly, so that her job is a bit easier. And when I talk about her job, she is the designer of all the magazines. She does the layouts. She works with the photography. She makes sure the graphics are good. She's a genius with color. She's a great genius with style and design. And so we're going to start with a few questions from me. And then Wendy's going to add a few questions of her own so that you can all learn the process of how to submit your stories and your photography to a magazine or a book publisher, so that the journey is a good one and not one that's filled with turmoil and stops and starts for everyone involved. So, Wendy, let's just start with the basics, which are, from my perspective, which gives you the most trouble, it seems, is the photography that's submitted for the features.
Yes. And I would say one of the biggest problems that comes up a lot of the time is the size of the photographies, the photography. And it's I find that it's often difficult to try and communicate to somebody who doesn't understand the size requirements that we need for print, what those specs should be. So sometimes it's easier, I think, if at least these days, maybe if people understand it from the pixel dimensions. So what we're looking for ideally is something that has very large pixel dimensions. That'd be like about 2400 by 3000 pixels. Some of the ones that we get are like around, sometimes we get things that are like 750 pixels in dimension. And when I try to print that, that's going to end up being only about 2 inches by 2 inches if it's that size.
So when they're on there, I know how to tell their pixel size when they're on Smug Mug, But yes. Is there a way to tell it on their phone before they send it to us?
See, on the phone, I think that if you're shooting on your phone, there is a way to put it onto high res, because that's what you're going to want. And I think if you're looking at it on your phone, first of all, you want to be shooting in a high res format. And then if you're on your computer or on your phone and you're able to see how big the file is, the bigger the better. If you're looking at a JPEG and it's only like 100 kilobytes, that is not good. That's probably going to be way too small. And the difficulty with trying to give people like a size that it would be in a JPEG is because a JPEG is a compression format. So I could get a JPEG that says it's 1 meg and open it up and it'll be much larger, but I don't know all the time how much larger. I think that if you've got something that you've taken with your phone and you've taken it in the high-res format and it's about 2 megs as a JPEG, that I think you're going to be fine.
And isn't that when they're supposed to send it? Like, I always tell them to send it. When you send a picture to something, it says 20%, 40%, and you should always send it actual size, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, if you're taking the picture and sending it on your phone, yeah, that's always the thing where it's like, because it wants to save you some space. It's trying to help you out, but it's actually, in this case, it is not helping you out. So yeah, send it actual size.
Our world has changed, just so our readers or listeners understand, our world at the magazine has changed dramatically in the last 3 to 4 years, because it used to be that we only worked with professional photographers. So Wendy didn't have to worry about all these kinds of sizes of images. But now with Instagram and everybody shooting their own photographs on their phones, and they're beautiful. I mean, some of them are absolutely gorgeous, but we need to make sure that Wendy gets them in the size that she needs, because there is nothing more disappointing to one of you if you send an image too small and we can't use it and it's either a postage stamp or not included at all. I get lots of letters about that, and it's not our fault. So if you're shooting your own photography, which is great, we love that because everybody has a style, but you need to educate yourself enough to do what is necessary so that Wendy can work with it once she receives it.
Yeah. And with the phones today, I mean, the good thing about the phones cameras that people have today is that they are able to take a very large high resolution image. Back when the phones first came out, people would try and submit things that they had taken with their phones. And that was a rule that we had: do not take anything with your phone. But nowadays, you can take things with your phone.
Okay, so let's say that I'm submitting something for Where Women Create, that you are going to lay out the feature for my studio, focused on my studio with a little bit of how-to in there, what I make, a little bit, but not very much, because the main focus is the studio. So how many images do I send in? Should they be verticals or horizontals? Should they be room shots or close-ups? Tell our listeners a little bit about the images themselves.
Okay. So I would say, like, if we've got a good 50 shots, I wouldn't submit too much more than 50, because it's just too many for us to try and figure out which ones to use.
Yeah, when we have 37 pages, nobody wants to do your feature.
right. And I think it's great if people can submit a variety of shots. So some of them are horizontal and some of them are vertical, some close-ups and some far away, some other recommendations I would have are to, and this one's kind of tough too, is to possibly be aware of what stuff is in your studio that you don't want to be in your shot. So if you had some lunch there, clean the lunch out, empty the trash can, tidy up just a bit. But, you know, we do have some people who have studios that are in abundance of supplies and projects, and that can look really cool. But then there are sometimes when it just looks cluttered. So try and use your best judgment on the styling of your studio before you start taking your shots. With that, if you're doing any how-to shots, I would recommend, you know, first of all, if you can get somebody to hold the camera for you and take the shots, that would be good so that you don't have to, if you're going to have your hands in the shot. And I, again, be aware of what kind of space you're working on. A lot of people, for instance, like to work on those cutting mats. And if you've got a green cutting mat in the background of the shot, sometimes that's not quite as attractive. I don't necessarily have the best answer for that one, because if it's the thing that you use, that's what it is. But if there's any way for people to think about the styling of those shots too, that's great.
Well, and one thing that I would say about that, those mats are horrible in photographs. And if you do have to use one, make sure that you're not doing a project, because we have to have projects from beginning to end. It has to be the same project. So make sure you're not doing a project where if your mat is dark green, for example, that your project is red because it looks just like Christmas, or, you know, is a real pale, pale color that just gets lost on the green. I mean, as artisans, you have to think all those things through of how it looks on the page. And another thing that Wendy just fights with every day is the placement of the items in the photograph. If you're shooting a horizontal, do not put the items right in the middle of the photograph, because then it goes in the crease in the page and we can't work with it. I mean, it has to be off to one side or the other, or it just causes all kinds of problems for Wendy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There have been a lot of times when there's a lovely horizontal shot that would be beautiful as a full spread, and the subject is right in the center. So I have to offset it somehow. And sometimes that's the artist themselves. I really don't want to put you guys in the gutter.
So your nose is right in the middle of the crease, so you can just see your eyes on both sides. And yeah, our magazines are really thick on heavy paper, so our creases are larger than some magazines might be. It's more noticeable for us than other. One other thing I would say to help Wendy is that, from my perspective, if you would shoot a lot of your shots both horizontal and vertical, so that we have one of each, so that she can fit it in where she needs to. And always shoot when you're done, always reshoot so that it is perfection, your favorite vertical shot, because it may be a cover. And we have to have verticals to have covers, unless they're so big that we can wrap them from front to back. Yeah. But we get lots of photographs that are horizontals that we'd like to have a cover, but we can't crop it right and it just doesn't work. So everybody wants to be a cover, but you aren't even up for consideration if we don't have the right size and type of photography. You can tell what part of Wendy's job drives me crazy. Okay, so let's talk about when they're shooting, about suggestions on lighting. Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things. There are a lot of artists have beautiful art filled or light filled studios, and usually I think those turn out quite well with using natural lighting. And you guys would know your studio the best as to when the light is coming in. I think that the place where we run into some issues are the people who have smaller windows and are working more in a situation where you have the fluorescent lighting. I don't know if you can try try some where you can turn off the lights and see how the light is natural light is coming in. Or if you have a friend that is a photographer that is willing to let you borrow some lights or help you out with some setting up the lighting on that. Especially if you're shooting on your phone, it will adjust for low lighting situations. But one of the things that happens then is that the image will get really grainy, and that'll show up when it gets printed.
Another thing that Wendy's been faced with lately is there seems to be a trend in very dark, moody photography. Mm-hmm. And there are places where that's appropriate, but our printer prints dark. And so all we get is mud. So you have to be very careful about your lighting, or there's a lot of photographs that Wendy can't use because they're just too dark and muddy.
Yeah. That has happened a lot where they're just too dark. Fortunately, we've had a lot more light filled stuff, but I would definitely recommend trying to get more light into your photo and more light onto your projects.
And tell them for Where Women Create, it's all about the studio. So this is not an issue, but for What Women Create, which is all about the projects themselves, I tell them when we send them the guidelines that we're not a how-to magazine. We don't have to have every single step out, because even if you do it, we're not going to use them. It's just not who we are. We just want the process and the passion and the beauty of what you're creating. So will you talk to them for a minute about how-to steps and what that means to you as a designer?
Yeah. So one of the things that I'm doing when I'm picking out the how-to steps is that looking for stuff that's like visually interesting. I don't know that I would recommend not shooting it or sending it in, but the things that I'm going to pick are going to be the shots that are the most interesting, the most color, the most relevant to the process that you're doing. And the most exciting, I think there was a woman that did those, the big clay bronze statues. And she had shots where she had torch.
Right.
She's applying the torch to it to provide some finish to these pieces. That's really cool. Somebody who's forging something and you're pouring and you've got like the light of the forge behind there. That's cool. There was another series where someone who did, maybe it was the lavender bundles, and each step might not have been exciting, but because she showed clearly what each step was, you can put them put them all into like a grid and work your way across there and see the whole thing progress from beginning to end. Some of the kind of shots that I won't use are like if somebody's putting down like the first gesso coat to prepare their board for doing like some kind of a painting. That's not particularly exciting. If you've got a lot of the same kind of step that's repeated over and over again, probably only use one of those. If it's something that we think people probably know how to do, we're probably going to skip that one. Not that we want anybody to give up their secret sauce, you know. Right.
Yeah, the secret sauce.
Incorporate some drama into the steps.
That's a good word. And color and interest. Mm-hmm. And watch your hands. When you have to think about when you're doing the photography of your how-to steps, if your hands are in the way, when we blow that up to a quarter, half, or full page, your hands are bigger than life. And they look, and I have a particular obsession with hands in photography because I think they're so distracting. And it's not easy sometimes to shoot at an angle where your hands aren't the main focus, because that's when it takes two people, I think. So somebody's coming at you while you're making it rather than you trying to shoot over your shoulder or something. But it's important because I'll pull them out. Wendy, that is one thing that Wendy doesn't even see them sometimes because I just delete them because I hate hands with photographs. They're just, and not very many of crafters have beautiful hands. I mean, they're well worn, right? Which yeah. is good. I mean, when I was at an event one time when I was fairly young, the spokesperson who I was so enamored with, she was just so famous. She said to me, when I meet somebody new, the first thing I do is look at their hands because I know if their nails are perfect and their hands are soft, that they don't do anything worthwhile. And so she said, I like people who work hard and their hands are, and that you can tell whether it's gardening or crafting or just, you know, playing with your kids, you don't have really long, beautiful painted nails all the time, right? So I've always used that as a guideline. Okay, so what else do you think people need to be aware of? Composition? You talked about it for a minute, but could you go into it a little bit more?
Yeah, so we did talk about the focus, the subject in the center of the shot and how we can't use that on a thread. So if people can provide some stuff that's like a little off center, that's great. We talked about drama too, about even if you're shooting in your studio, maybe try some shots where you get down on the floor and look up, or if you can get overhead and look down on things, get on a ladder, maybe be careful. Don't want it. But an overhead shot can be an interesting shot. You know, on your play around with some of the settings on the iPhone, you've got the option to do a panoramic shot. If you've got steady hands, that could be interesting and could work out.
And as Wendy said before, make sure that you clean the area around you. Some people only see what they're working on, but when we get the photography, it is a mess all the way around them. And it's so distracting. I brought up composition twice, not because you didn't cover it well the first time, but it's because I believe that sometimes people don't listen to everything unless they hear it two or three times, right? And for me, composition of these photographs is by far the most important, because if you have good composition to lay out, then you can do some amazing things. And if you don't, it's you that's performing the magic. And so I may bring it up again. That's because I want all of you to remember it and to understand it and to recognize it. Be aware of what you're doing when you're photographing. So, okay, is there something else that we should know?
Well, you know, kind of to the point of the composition, you know, I would suggest going, you know, go to Instagram, go to old issues of what or where, and take a look at some of the shots that we have put in there and see if there's some way that you can do an interesting shot with your studio, with what you have on hand. But I do that a lot. Go and get inspiration from what somebody else has already done. It's okay.
It is okay, because everybody has their own style. So even if you're inspired by somebody else, yours is going to look different no matter what. Mm-hmm. And to Wendy's point, I have people say to me when they send in their features, oh, my studio is really ordinary. You know, I don't have anything special. I don't have beautiful pieces of art. But if you use paintbrushes, for an example, paintbrushes and palettes of paint, watercolors, I have seen some of the worst photography from painters that you can imagine. But if you're diligent and creative and you do your homework by looking at other people's photography, sometimes there is nothing more beautiful than a full page of just paintbrushes in a container. I mean, it is stunning. So you need to compare when you're doing your photography you know, this is what I have. It's not very special, but I mean, especially in today's photography, because it's kind of that grunge kind of look. Everybody doesn't want new paintbrushes. I mean, when I started in photography 43 years ago, when we would do the cooking issues, we had to go to the grocery store and we would buy a bushel of apples so that when we shot the photograph, every apple was perfect and polished with oil and was placed exactly where it was supposed to be. I learned all my photography from the photographers and stylists at Better Homes and Gardens, and they were fanatic about it. And now it is the direct opposite.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, they're half eaten and they're rotten and they're...
I worked with a photographer who was, he was excellent with lighting. He could do all kinds of magical stuff with lighting. And he could just go on and on about how people don't understand lighting anymore. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I have the camera. So I just need to point it and shoot it. But yeah, lighting is important. And like, even if somebody has, like you said, like, an ordinary studio, not too big or anything. If you can find some good lighting in that studio and get a shot with some really interesting, dramatic lighting coming in on your supplies, your workspace or whatever, that's pretty cool.
It's really cool. And what I need all of you listeners to understand in these magazines are very, very expensive to produce. And they go out to tens of thousands of people. So if you want your studio in the magazines and you want to be noticed, it's not just, oh, well, I'm going to walk in, shoot all these photographs with my camera and send it in. And that's, you know, we're good to go. It's an investment for us and the publishers of tens of thousands of dollars. So if you need to borrow or rent lighting equipment, if you need to take a class before you submit your studio, I don't think that's unreasonable. I think what we'll do for those who are listening is I will, maybe Wendy and I can get together and put together a couple of websites of people that we know who teach good lighting, good composition, good how to figure out the resolution, a few of those things so that you can do your homework before you submit, because this is a big deal. These magazines are beautiful. And not only are you representing yourself, but you're representing everybody else in the magazine. And so if your photography isn't the best, it's going to detract from somebody who's as fabulous. So it's important. I can't stress that enough. I'm shocked sometimes at what people send in, and I think, really? I mean, really? I mean, not to be condescending, but you have to put your best foot forward. If you want to be part of something, you have to be what they are to their standards and principles, right? Is there anything else that we should cover that, I mean, you've answered all my questions. You're just like your layouts. You're very thorough. You're very concise. You're so knowledgeable. You just make it sound so easy, right? So yeah. I'm going to go set up my lighting behind me here because I've been working on it now for weeks. Okay, Wendy. So one thing I like to do towards the end of every podcast is I like to ask my guest what secret they have that they would like our audience to know. You can even talk about me if you want.
Boy, I'm gonna have to think for a while, I guess. I don't know.
We may have to post it on the podcast underneath so people will check in to see what it is.
Yeah, we might need to. I'm a very secretless kind of person, I guess. I don't know why I'm thinking like a dirty secret. Like I thought, like
that's hilarious. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'm going to post this on the podcast so you all are going to have to go listen to the podcast on the website or Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts. But you're going to have to go on the website to see what the secret is, because it's only going to be posted there. Okay, so do you have a favorite quote?
Yeah, this is like going back a little bit. This is from the 80s. There was a movie called Buckaroo Banzai Across the some dimension. It's so long, I can't even remember how many dimensions it was. But there's a scene where he says, don't be mean. You don't need to be mean, because wherever you go, there you are.
I like that too, very, very much. I don't think I've heard that before. Yeah. So that's really nice. Yeah. I would like to thank all of you for listening to the podcast. I especially want to thank Wendy. She did this kind of on the spur of the moment for me to help me out and teach me a lot and teach all of you a lot. And I hope she knows how much we all appreciate her. I don't think all of our listeners know how much they appreciate you and the work you do, but I certainly do. And I hope I never take it for granted, or you don't think that I do. And my favorite quote that I like to end every podcast with is, Wendy and all of you, I love you with a thousand hearts.